that distinctive shearing sound ushers in the final Blind Line for 1999, and of course the last Blind Line before Christmas. This is Jonathan Mosen. Hope that you've got the festive spirit with a week to go until that special day, and it's nice to have you as part of ACB Radio's Blind Line for this Saturday, the 18th of December. Well, on the programme between now and whenever we finish, well, first of all, we're going to have an interview, as we ordinarily do, and that is with Guido Corona this week. He's from IBM Homepage Reader. We'll be talking about that standalone web browser and exactly what it does, and afterwards on the call-in part of the programme, your chance to contribute with the Buddy Phone programme or the regular telephone, and you're welcome to talk about anything, but in particular, if you have a Christmas story, if you'd like to bring a youngster onto the program with you, that'd be good as well, so that we can really capture that Christmas spirit. I'll try and get mine to pop in afterwards as well. Pretty much anything you want to talk about is fine with us on this Blind Line program. We will be taking a break after this edition until the 15th of January 2000. We will, of course, be continuing ACB Radio over the break, but it's summer holiday time here in New Zealand, and I intend to be taking a good break. Might need it. Okay, so without any further ado, let's go on to the interview for this week's program, and it's time to hear from Guido Corona. He's speaking about IBM Homepage Reader, and Guido began by telling me when I recorded the interview with him earlier this week that the first version of IBM Homepage Reader, which was developed back in 1996, was in fact not for the English-speaking market, but for the Japanese-speaking market.
The first version of IBM Homepage Reader was a project of the Tokyo Research Lab, and by the end of 97 there was actually a generally available a product in Japanese stores, which was a Homepage Reader Japanese, essentially, and that project was headed by Chieko Asakawa, who is a blind researcher at our TRL lab. In late 1998, actually, we started work on the English version of Homepage Reader, which culminated in a release of Homepage Reader version 2.0. at the end of January of 99, which was the first U.S. English version.
Was there any particular reason?
After that, we worked on the subsequent release 2.5, which instead is what we have now, which is the international version, which is available worldwide and has multilingual support.
Was there any particular reason for targeting the Japanese market first?
Yes, absolutely. And that is Chieko Asakawa is Japanese, and all of her co-workers were Japanese, and so they addressed the Japanese market, also because the Japanese market is especially ill-served by screen reading technology. While in the English world and in the European world, more or less we could muddle through, the double byte world was completely stuck.
Let's take a look at what one gets then when you purchase IBM Homepage Reader, because you've got the Netscape browser is the engine that's making all this happen, and a self-voicing application running over the top. Is that essentially how it works?
Almost. The Netscape is our input-output engine. So Netscape will serve us the raw pages, and then and handles all the protocols, and then we Homepage Reader does all the parsing of the HTML and creates a text / audio rendition of that text, and then it's up to the end user whether to synchronize the text audio rendition with the graphic rendition, or let the graphic rendition fall behind.
Does that mean that from time to time one may find issues where Netscape is giving some sort of unforeseen error that the self-voicing part of the application isn't picking up? And might it be in the future that it would be a more robust way to proceed to have your own browser engine incorporated into the product?
I think that your concern is theoretically true. although I have not seen that error occurring as yet. It was always something that we had foreseen during development. What we are seeing sometimes is a 404 error, but that is just a graceful web page that comes through. What you're going to see instead is occasionally, every time you download a file, instead the Netscape window will come to a foreground. And so that's why at this time at least we recommend that the user also have a screen reader loaded, which goes into sleep mode or quiescent mode whenever you run a homepage reader and then wakes up when Netscape decides to do something unforeseen.
Do you have a typical user profile in mind for homepage reader, somebody who is more likely to use your product than, say, a screen reader with IE or some other alternative?
We did. And we realized that we were being extremely restrictive with our profile. Our original profile was, let us say, just the new user who may not want to be bogged down by the complexities of IE5. It turns out that the typical user right now goes from the totally new naive user to the extremely advanced user that does e-commerce and is a great user of tables and frames and sites that have a lot of graphic content, albeit with alt text, hopefully. So I would say at this time it's a very wide audience that uses Homepage Reader.
What are the advantages that you perceive over other solutions that IBM Homepage Reader offers?
Yes, I would say that the advantages is that as Homepage Reader was designed from the ground up as a talking application, a talking browser, rather than an adaptation of a screen reader to the web, we are not bogged down by a legacy command structure and a legacy navigation structure, which is necessarily generic. So we have developed a very high-powered system for navigating the web. For instance, what will strike you is that we have an extremely good capability of navigating tables, where you can very easily move by cell, up, down, right and left, and recall on demand the title of rows and the title of columns. We have an exceedingly graceful and compact way to denote links and other clickable elements. We do that by a voice change. So the default setting is to use a male voice for all regular non-active text and to switch to a female voice for active or clickable elements. Of course, you can change that to either a verbal announcement or a MIDI ping or even none if that's the user's wish. But me having been sighted until about 15 years ago and having become blind later on, I wanted to have as much as possible of a super compact rendition of information without a lot of information bleed or information noise, if you want. Also, the way that we render frames is extremely effective by using a frame list type axis, where you are actually limited to the navigation within the frames. Besides that, once you go in a page, for instance, we have a wonderful facility for navigating and skipping over, for instance, maps and selectable elements, or I think they call radio buttons in the Windows world. One of the other advantages is that the user needs to use only one hand to navigate 95% of the time in a single-handed operation, which is a lot easier for certain classes of users with some limited motor skills.
Well, it's even nice if you're trying to have a cup of coffee in the morning while you're reading the newspaper, isn't it?
Absolutely, unless you're like me, whose left-hand side is fine and the right-hand side is only good for playing the piano, but for some odd reason that I don't know, for nothing else.
Let me ask you, I was reading the review that the American Foundation for the Blind just published in the first edition of their new publication. They seem to indicate that the fact that you can't view a multi-framed page as one page without actually having to make a point of switching frames is actually a weakness rather than a strength, and you're counting.
I think that is what I call a religious argument. In total honesty, I feel very firmly that we are using the right method. On the other hand, their analysis is technically incorrect, because when you are in a frame list, you have two modes of reading. You can either open each individual frame, and then you are limited by the span of a frame, or you can, at one command, you can go into what we call frame burst, in which the whole page is then becomes available, while only the individual frame links are actually active links. So we actually have both. As for my experience, I use actually the frame set and the jump to the individual frame 95% of the time, and the frame burst about 5%, but it is available.
Let's talk about specific applications with Homepage Reader. How does multimedia and Homepage Reader coexist in terms of passing information to, say, the Real Audio application or an MP3 program? Do you lose speech when you suddenly pop into those third-party tools?
I have done experiments lately, and by definition, those are plugins, so they are not part of the Homepage Reader. That truly depends on your screen reader, because when you go into a plugin, unless it's a simple thing such as you know a WAV file, there is going to be another application that comes to the foreground and your screen reader kicks in. I have used Homepage Reader on WAV file where there is no problem, and on Real Audio. I'm right now fuddling with MP3. Unfortunately, I'm working from inside a firewall, so my amount of success is rather minimum, because we are boxed in only to use the stuff within the firewall. In principle, there is really no problem, because we will launch the multimedia plugin and get it automatically into play mode. If the user wants to do manipulations within that plugin, it pays to have a screen reader either connected to a COM port so that there is no conflict with the software TTS, or to use a multi-threading sound card that will enable the software text-to-speech synthesizer and the multi-media plugin to coexist.
When we got your press release from IBM at ACB a couple of weeks ago, one of the big pitches that was being made was that it's Christmas time coming up and people want to be doing some shopping, and Homepage Reader is all set up for e-commerce. Can you tell me a little bit about shopping with Homepage Reader on the web?
I have used it lately to find a telephone, to find the ultimate 2.4 gigahertz telephone on the web, and except for a few sites that were so poorly built where I was in danger of getting terminal liver damage, I would say that it has been quite a nice experience. If you ask me, did I conclude the transaction, the answer is no. I will conclude the transaction in January. But have I found the lowest price on the web? Yes, I have.
form filling is obviously a key accessibility issue, and it really is one of the areas where many existing screen readers do have some difficulty trying to work out which label is matching which particular field.
Yes.
How's homepage reader coping in the area of form filling?
I have seen two separate situations. It is usually very easy in the sense that about 85% of the time the label is actually the element in the HTML page that physically precedes the entry field, in which case it's very easy to get that label. You simply press previous element or current element and you get it. Some cases that I have seen are trickier, and I have found a way to get around it. In some places, what they do, they create a form where there is a row of labels, and below it there is a row of entry fields. So what I have to do there is to go into our table navigation mode, position myself on an entry field, for instance, and then one of the form navigation command query what the title of that column was, and I had the label for the entry field. It's kind of backwards, but it stems from extremely poor programming practices from the part of the e-commerce website.
And what will homepage reader do if it finds a link that doesn't have any alt text? Will it just speak the URL of the link?
Actually, we follow a certain fairly detailed procedure for that, it goes like this. It will take about 1 minute. And let's not even talk about the link. Let's simply talk about an image. Let's take an image. If an image has alt text, we read the alt text. If there is no alt text, we look for the title attribute. If there is no title attribute, we look for the long description attribute. If there is no long description attribute, we check if it's a link. If it is a link, we actually will read a portion of the URL, not all the URL, because that's often meaningless. If it is not a link, then we check in a user setting, which may say ignore this image altogether or read the URL.
That is according
to a WAI guideline. So it's much more than brutally reading the URL. That's really only the last resort.
Excellent. Well, perhaps you could take us through a bit of an interactive demo, and I can turn my microphone off and let you do your thing at the IBM end.
Okay, we can try that. And I have a speaker next to the phone. Why don't we make a test and see if you can hear it well. Right now, to the best of my knowledge, for a little I remember, we are on a Scientific American site. Homepage Reader is fired up. I'm controlling it through the number pad. And why don't we get it to read for a couple of lines?
And certain kinds of algae occupy habitats such as snow, forest rock, and the surface.
Well, let's skip to the next paragraph. I just pray we play key once.
Pure carbonate layers stacked above the glacier.
And again, what happened is that the zero key on the number pad, which is the play key, you use it either to start verbalization or you use it to skip to the next paragraph and continue to the end, or until you press the stop key, which is, I don't know what it is. It's the enter key on the number pad. I know the position, but I don't know the original labels. Now, one thing that I can do is to you do fast forward, which is kind of interesting. Which is what it is doing. It is, if I press the minus key and the play key together, it reads just a couple of words in each paragraph, and then goes into a chirping mode until the next paragraph. And that is one of the features that we put in actually for the new user or naive user, if you want the senior user, who is more attuned with the workings of a regular tape recorder. Now, Let's see now what we have here. We want to find some links. So I will go to my keypad and use my link keys, which are 1, 2, and 3. Okay, here we have a link that talks about volcanoes, and I want to open that link. And all I'm going to do now is to double-click the 2 key.
Connection in progress.
I get...
Target address is HTTP.
This is a log of a connection. And as the page then is loaded and appears...
Started. Volcano World, the premier source of volcano info on the web. Welcome to Volcano World. Everything about volcanoes, the web's premier source of...
And I guess there is a lot about volcanoes. And the system will read me the entire page unless I stop it in mid-stride by pressing the Enter key. What I want to know now is where am I on the page, and I ask that by double-clicking the 5 key.
Select table 1, row 1, column 1, with 7 rows and 3 columns.
Also,
2 of 45.
Oh, we are on a table. That's interesting, but I wanted to know actually a summary of the page and see what kind of structures there are on the page. So I will press another key combination.
Volcano World, the premier source of volcano info on the web. There are 32 links, 45 page elements, 1 form, 4 tables.
So there is 1 form, 4 tables, and a bunch of other things. And now I could theoretically go into table navigation mode, but this is not going to be an interesting table because it's just a table which is there for formatting rather than a table that conveys actual information. Why don't we go to... maybe Amazon.
Okay, yeah, nice one.
Because there are a few less fields there, and we'll achieve about the same. So what I can do now to go to Amazon is either search for it, which is very quick, or I can just open my bookmarks by pressing the top right key on the keypad.
Back to bookmarks for home page.
And my bookmarks are organized in folders, and with the 7, 8, and 9 key, I will find the commerce folder.
Multilingual, accessibility, news and sports, search engine, travel and weather, commerce.
Commerce, and then the first link down from there by pressing the 3 keys is my Amazon bookstore.
Amazon.
Connection in progress. Please wait. Target address.
And now it's linking to Amazon.
Amazon.com, Earth's biggest selection.
Map. Skipping 14 items. Map. Skipping 5 items.
Search Amazon.com, start a form.
And this is, actually, you notice that it said map skipping 14 items. And that is because when you have maps and select menus, those can be exceedingly long, and you really don't want typically to have them read in line. And besides the fact in Amazon, those maps contain worse than URL addresses, contain IP addresses, so they sound like this.
Map. 103-5,874,794-4,439,846.
I defy anybody to guess what that means. So let's go actually into the form. I will skip over them.
Skipping 13 items. Map. Skipping 5 items.
Search Amazon.com. Start a form 1. Start a select menu.
So I have been alerted that I am in a form, and now I need to select the category. I use my, it's very, very simple. I only use my link keys.
Map, 103, map, 103.
Oh, that's not
map.
Yet it.
Skipping 10 items.
It's
map, skipping 5 items.
It went back.
Search Amazon.com, start of form 1, start of select menu 11 items.
Select on all products.
Yes, all products.
Select on all products.
Okay.
Text. Select on all products. Select all stock of e.Amazon. Select all shops. Select all options. Select all home info. Select all electronics. Select all toys and games. Select all electronics.
Oh, yes. Let's go into electronics.
Select on electronics.
And let's skip to the end of the select menu.
Submit button.
And let's go back. I found the submit button.
Submit button. Text.
And I found out my text field. Let's open it. I double-click the text field because that actually protects me from accidental filling of a form when I have no intention of doing that. And I type in the name of a telephone I'm looking for.
KX-TG2570.
Let's press enter.
KX-TG2570.
And let's advance to the next field, to the next link.
Submit button.
And I have found the dreaded submit button. And now I double click it.
Submit button.
And That's all there is in the filling of that form. Now, the Amazon page will have a lot of stuff at the beginning that I'm truly not interested in, so I will now open a general purpose dialog where I can specify a search string slash 2570. Let me see.
Slash 2570.
Great. So it's part of that product number. Now it's going to search in the local page for that number.
We found no matches for the keyword KXPG.
Well, I guess it didn't find it, but that has more to do with me selecting the wrong item. So what I could do is to go back and look for something that I know I will find.
Submit button. Select all products. Select on all products.
I will select now on all products.
KXPG.
How about we look for a book by Crichton instead?
C-R-I-C-H-T-O-N.
And if Mr. Amazon cannot find this, I don't know what it will find.
Crichton.
Okay, great.
Submit button.
Connection.
So let's look for Mr. Crichton.
Target address at http://www.amazon.com/exec/omino/search/handle/form/103-5807.
And I press the stop key because this drives me nuts. And every 3 seconds or so, the system will actually click to me to tell me. I think it actually found the page, but I pressed the stop key in at the wrong time. So now we'll do a local search for Crichton.
For earlier search, print J.
Oh, wrong key.
Slash C-R-I-C-H. Madison.com for
Chris.
Related searches. Top matches for
Chris.
Son from other online merchants.
Oh, there it is.
Product related. Book.
Timeline.
Michael Crichton.
Oh, there it is.
Timeline.
The latest book is Timeline, and I guess we can double-click to find more info.
Connection in progress. Amazon.com. Buy an info. Timeline.
Map. Skipping 14
and
items. Map. Skipping 8 items.
Start of form 1. Search. Start of select menu 2 items.
Yes.
End of select menu.
Text. Click the button.
End of form 1. Start of form 2.
And I think there is an add to shop to shopping cart, so how about I look for add?
Slash A. E. Holly needs it by December 24. No problem. Select any shipping method. U.S.
Add.
Red.
View my wish list. Submit button. View my wish. See larger bold. Omnocassette. Large print. America. On. Germany. Nuts. Large. Omnocassette. Omnocassette. See larger photo. View my wish list.
And let's view what the wish list is. But
submit button.
Submit button.
Submit button. View my wish list.
And etc.
So the conventions for filling in forms are a little different from what people would be used to if they were using Netscape or Internet Explorer.
Yes, it is, actually, because in Web Explorer you would actually using the tab key when you are in a form. And we thought that we wanted to have as much as possible 100% consistency. So if anything is a clickable element, whether it's an anchor, an internal anchor, an external anchor, or a control, for us it is a link, and we use exactly the same access method.
One of the things that is a bit frustrating until you know how with other web browsers is that there are certain types of combo boxes on the web where you have to hit alt down arrow to scroll through them, otherwise the first choice that you land on is actually automatically executed and acted upon. Does Homepage Reader deal with those?
We haven't had that problem at all, because by default our construction, in our rendering, everything is turned off, and you have to actually explicitly turn an item on with a double click in order to select it, unless something is pre-selected for you by the author of the page.
Is the product under active development? Are there new things in the works that will be coming out shortly?
We are always under development, and the answer is yes. Whether it's shortly or not, that is up to the developers to decide, but there are things that we like to see for the future, yes.
Are you able to be a bit more explicit about that?
Currently, we are, for instance, working on adding more languages, which is one thing that I haven't shown you, is the power of language switching on the system. We want to add also, Brazilian and Chinese, both for the traditional character set and simplified character set. And there are more things also that are coming down the line.
For those people who already have speech synthesizers, be they software or hardware, are you looking at supporting the SSIL or the MSAPI standards for people to use the voices that they're used to?
Currently, we are using MSAPI, and actually, in the ship group, we are shipping also the OutLoud text-to-speech, and the OutLoud text-to-speech is, if you want, it sounds and is a follow-on to the Eloquence engine shipped by Hunter Joyce. It sounds like an Eloquence with a much better treble.
And can you use any MSAPI speech at the moment, then, if you have multiple MSAPI engines?
You could. I have tried, for instance, the Microsoft text-to-speech, and if a user would like to try that, I can send them a file to add to the homepage reader directory. But we have found that for our usage, the only text-to-speech that would give us, first of all, the voice quality we were looking for, second, switching voice characteristics on the fly from male to female, and also reliable indexing, was our own OutLoud. And if there are more text-to-speech engines that we see in the future that will do all the things that we need, we will probably support them. But we have not seen something that that does everything we need except for ours at this time.
Just out of interest, is it possible to purchase or download the OutLoud software if one has a screen reader that supports the MSAPI standard and you just want that speech? Can you get it from anywhere?
You could download our IBM homepage reader demo, or that demo, this is a 30-day trial, and that includes the OutLoud. However, I should like to point out that, for instance, JAWS does not have a TTS file for the OutLoud. You would have to create one yourself. But I don't see why that should not be possible, because after all, it's MSAPI.
And how much does Homepage Reader sell for?
Homepage Reader lists for $149 for the, let us say, the hard pressed version, you know, the CD in the nice case. It can also be downloaded instead as the real product for $129 US from the net. The 30-day trial is free of charge. And we have seen it also discounted in different places on the net by different vendors. The homepage reader is available through IBM Direct, as well as from several special needs dealers, but also you could go potentially to any software dealer in North America, or any dealer that can obtain packages through the usual wholesalers and order it from them.
It must be quite a big download, assuming that you don't have Netscape on your system. By the time you've downloaded the reader software in the browser, it'd be a biggie, wouldn't it?
It is a sizable download. That's why we have the CD. Yeah. Mm. It's about probably 30 megs, because it includes Netscape, just in case you don't have it on the system.
And is that the most up-to-date version of Netscape, or do you have to use a certain version to be safe?
No, we have tested it with all the current versions from 3.0 up to the latest 4.7, and all of these are compatible. The only thing I have seen on 4.7 is that all of a sudden Netscape has decided to support zipped up formats for certain large pages, and that happened after the release of Homepage Reader. So if you go on certain pages and you find that you're getting very interesting but not terribly meaningful characters, I suggest that you go back to Netscape 4.5 and the problem will go away by magic.
Where do people go to get the demo from on the web?
They will find the demo at www.ibm.com/SNS or Special Needs Systems, and from there they will find a link to the Homepage Reader page, and from there to be downloaded from the demo.
Now, email access, does Homepage Reader provide anything in that area at the moment?
Absolutely. Homepage Reader includes an email package called Homepage Mailer. The beauty of that package is that all the interaction is through HTML web pages, through a bunch of forms. So there is essentially almost zero learning curve. If you know one, you know the other.
So it interfaces with your existing POP3 account, though, does it?
That is correct, yes. And you need to install PWS, or Personal Web Server, to use Homepage Mailer.
That sounds very interesting. And what's the feedback been like? Have people been abandoning the Eudoras and Outlook Expresses to use that?
I think the best mailer package in the world is the first one that you use. There are lots of good mailing packages in the out there, but the reason why we added our own is that not everybody is using Eudora. So especially for those people that haven't used a mailer package before, we wanted to provide a good quality, full feature mailing packages. I believe that the people that are using Eudora are probably still using Eudora. On the other hand, I can tell you that the people that have used the Homepage Mailer are still using the Homepage Mailer.
Along those same lines, are you aware of anyone who was a dyed-in-the-wool Internet Explorer 5 user with Window Eyes or JFW who've discovered Homepage Reader and are now using it for web browsing instead?
Yes. That is a more clear-cut situation, because while Homepage Mailer is an excellent mailer, like many other mailers, the Homepage Reader has definite advantages. Actually, I was in New York just a couple of days ago on a phone-in show, and there were a number of people that had used both Homepage Reader and JAWS, and I would say without exceptions they felt that Homepage Reader was doing a superior job. There was one person who was frustrated using forms, that with most packages that I know of, sorry, not with forms, with tables, because no systems that I know out there have tables, and was ecstatic at the idea that he could now do tables with our product.
Well, that's
so. The answer is definitely yes.
And is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention about the virtues of the product?
Yes, which is a topic which is very dear to me, and that is the multi-language switching, which we haven't covered. As I mentioned, we are this is an international product. And we support in the version that I'm using, we support English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish. But we have added one feature that I consider is tremendous, and that is that if you happen to land on a page written in any of these languages, the system will actually switch a TTS engine automatically on the fly by actually recognizing the nature of the language that the pager has been authored in. So for instance, now I will look for El Heraldo, which is the page of a Colombian newspaper that that a friend of mine in New York has pointed out to me. And now, okay. Now we're going to open this link.
Connection in progress.
And if the system is in automatic recognition mode,
is not allowed to access those selected objects.
Oh, sometimes this happens. Sometimes it lets me in, sometimes it doesn't. So I will find another foreign page.
Access bookmark. Bookmark for multilingual accessibility. News and sport access multilingual.
Multilingual.
Gutenberg,
okay, this one is a piece of classical Italian written by Boccaccio about AD 1325 or so.
Decameron. Decameron. Seconda giornata. Novella quinta Andreuccio da Perugia, venuto a Napoli a comperar cavalli, una notte da tre gradi.
And this is Italian.
Da cui campato con rumino si torna a canna tra le pietre dall'andolfo trovate, cominciò la...
Which is typically spoken a little bit faster than English. So let's go back now and find, and now let's try some Spanish. This one.
El Diablo Predicador, part 2 of 9, last updated February 20th, 1998, Jalon Criado,
Criado. Oh, this doesn't, this I had to put on the automatic switching handling there.
How frequently is it making a judgment about what language to use? Is it done on a page-by-page basis or more frequently than that?
No, it's on a page-by-page basis, actually.
Right.
So we do the analysis of a page as we first download it.
Italian, German, French, Spanish.
There it is.
Un florentino caballero siciliano se llama, se quiere hablar, Ludovico.
Etc.
Mucho de España.
And by the way, we do support also the control key on the main keyboard for stopping verbalization.
That's very nice. It's great.
What I have not shown is table navigation.
Mm.
Which I have spoken about it, but I have not physically shown it. I'd be more than happy to
please do
show it if you think.
I'd be interested in that, yes.
That. Yeah. Super. So let's look at a table that I have found lately, which is fairly large. It shows the best prices for cordless telephones in New Mexico, of all places. So I go back to my bookmarks, and I will actually do a search.
Text input for earlier search string text input slash EX
Mexico. Oh, come on, don't give me that. Go back to automatic switching.
Automatic.
Okay.
Compare prices in New Mexico. Compare prices and features for 900 megahertz.
A lot better. Okay, now I'm opening this link.
Wait. Target address is HTTP. www. Compare prices and features for 900 megahertz phones was entering.
Now I'm going to advance a bunch of elements, a bunch of lines, because I really don't want the stuff at the beginning.
Product description, price, dates, details.
Okay, I think this is the table. Let's see if we are in a table here. Let me check.
Table 3, row 2, column 2, with 16 rows and 6 columns.
Yeah.
16 of 100.
Okay, so I press now the keys, what is it? Enter, then star.
Table navigation mode, size, height 16, width 6.
And now I use my number pad as if it were a bunch of arrow keys, you know, with 5 being the middle of a cross, and left and right being 4 and 6, and up and down being 8 and 2. So I go to the left. I go to the right.
That's ET90601.
Okay, I don't want this phone. I want to go down, arrow.
General Electric went General Electric
down.
ZZ9 Panasonic KXT1500.
Okay, KXT1500. Okay, so let's go to the right now.
Phone with answer, 15-minute recording time.
Okay, so this is the description to the right again.
$69.99.
Okay, I suspect this is the price, but why don't I check actually the title of this column?
Price.
Yes, this is the price column. Now if I ask for the current sell,
$69.99.
I'm still on the spot, on the same spot. So I can ask whenever I want the title of the current of a current column or the title of a current row. And if I wanted to buy this thing, let me move to the left.
Phone with answer. Panasonic KXP Circuit City.
Ah, it's at Circuit City, so now I could get out of this table navigation mode.
Back to normal mode.
Circuit City.
And I could double-click Circuit City, that now has been rendered with a female voice, and means that it's a link.
Circuit City.
And I could try to find it then on the Circuit City
site. Store details for Circuit City, sale circular,
etc., etc. So that's how table navigation mode, it works. It's exceedingly easy to use.
That does sound extraordinarily impressive,
actually.
And it has
quite strong features.
Yeah, that really does sound very good. I think I'm going to have a play with this over the Christmas holidays.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the only thing I have not shown is some more applications of my general purpose input field that I have used a couple of times, that I use for a local search. If I fail to put in a forward slash and I simply type in an arbitrary character string.
Text input for earlier search string, text input selected, slash next.
You remember that I look for slash Mexico? Well, let's look for my favorite telephone instead.
KX hyphen TG 2570 B.
And I simply, this is an arbitrary character string without any slashes or anything else. What it's going to do is that it's going to invoke a search engine for me. And just give me the results. And the default search engine typically is Yahoo, but I have changed it to Alta Vista, which is another one of the very easy things that you can do. Of course, you can open an arbitrary URL by using the same input field. Simply type in a URL. It will recognize the fact that it is not an arbitrary string. It looks like a URL. And with the same thing, you can either save a file to disk, a page to disk, or retrieve it from disk, and it works just fine.
One of the things that some of the screen readers that are working with IE are now doing is that they're finding easy ways for users to skip the common set of links, the contents margins that are at the top of the page.
Yes.
Can you do that in Homepage Reader?
Right now, we have to be a little bit smart in navigation. What I do, for instance, when I go into CNN, I can skip over the links on the main page by looking for top story. On the other hand, there is a very, very high level command that we have that I have forgotten to speak about, which we should look at now because it's truly interesting, which is the header command. So if I go to CNN, and let's go there and go to an article. Let's go back to news and sports. Let's open CNN and find any article.
Target address is HTTP.
So I show you both cases.
CNN.com or National Olympic Committee fan visit.
Okay. Here,
CNN.com.
This is the beginning, and we want to skip over the beginning. And the way I do it in this particular case is do a search for updated.
CFPE, December 13th.
At 906, watch internet. Feature story, Surgeon General.
Okay, so great. So
Surgeon General.
So this is the title of an article that we're going to open now, and I'm going to show you here very powerful way.
CNN, Surgeon General, stigma, money keep people from mental care.
Wonderful. Now, in this article, there is probably 100 links at the very beginning, but what CNN and many other places is that they put titles as titles. They're using the HTML title construct or header construct. And through Homepage Reader, I can just look for the next title by pressing dot, then 3.
Heading 1. Surgeon General, stigma, money keep people from...
Great, and I have jumped over all the junk in the beginning. I press the play key.
Imogen is story.
No policy recommendation, central message.
And I can read from here. And it's likely that there are more titles in this particular article, so let me try again.
Heading 3, no policy recommendations.
And yes, there was a subtitle here.
The report, a scientific, pattern, and political document, makes no specific policy recommendations. But mental health advocates...
And, let us say more specific, jump over these bunch of links is stuff that we are considering for the next release. But there are already ways that are very high level to achieve the same.
Well, it just goes to show what you can do when you actually take the HTML itself and look at what's in
it. It's amazing, because all the information is there. It's just a matter of tapping over it.
So
where everybody's going to, rather than simply looking at what the browser has put on the screen and what it looks like physically, is really to go in and look at what the underlying information is and manipulate from there.
Mm.
By the way, one of the great advantages that we have over some of the other screen readers is that we have always complete synchronization of the audio presentation with a visual presentation. So if you hear something, that also means that you can see something. Now, for me, as a totally blind person, that may not be relevant, but every time I work with someone who is sighted, and that is very frequently, you know, if I'm using the browser and I'm hearing something and they're seeing something totally different, that is very disconcerting. And instead, OPage Reader keeps always the visual point of regard synchronized with the audio point of regard and performs all the necessary scrolling. And if you turn on the synchronization with Netscape, that synchronization of the audio and visual point of regard will be maintained also on the Netscape window. So there is no such thing as a virtual PC cursor or an audio cursor or a decolonization mode or anything like that. The whole presentation is always available and always synchronized at all times.
Now, for people who want to look into this further, the address again, www.ibm.com/sns for special needs systems. And
that is correct, yes.
If people download the demo and they like it, can the demo be unlocked, or do they have to download the actual registered product again?
No, at this time they should download the registered product again. We don't have a mechanism for unlocking the demo.
Just so people know that. This has been fascinating, and the product is Homepage Reader. It sounds like something that everybody should take a look at who is seriously into web surfing, and I really appreciate you giving up your time to come on the program to talk to us about it.
No problem. Has been a pleasure.